It is Monday morning, April 27th. Joining us today for a remote talk shop is Brian and Rob Barkley from Security National.
Good morning, Rob.
And today, both of us really are remote, huh?
Oh, gee. We actually are right now.
Yeah. All right, Winston, why don't you hit us with our why don't we say it so we can get this ball rolling down the hill.
Okay, I've got two for you to choose from. And they're both food related. Pound cake or porterhouse steak.
Well, pancake seems pretty evident, so I don't know. Which one you want to go with, Rob?
I have no idea on either one of them.
All right, pound cake it is. How did pound cake come to be called that?
I would think that, you know, obviously it's a confectionery, right, of the cake part. And that somehow kneading the flour in the mix, some people started pounding, or they threw it on the floor to make it fit inside the baking pan. How's that?
You came so close and then veered off wildly into left field. It's because in old recipes for the cake, many of the principal ingredients were listed as a pound of this and a pound of that.
Ooh. All right. That's a big boy size recipe. gotta love that. Yeah. When it says pounds of sugar and pounds of flour, now we're talking my talk here.
That's
funny.
Oh, gee.
Well, Rob, I don't know too much about how Louisiana is faring, but I do have a bunch of radio buddies that I'm in daily contact with in Mississippi, and they're talking some interesting talk. What's it like?
Well, it is interesting here. Started off with, we're all working remotely, so we did that successfully, and we have, I think, 8 or 9 positions only in the Baton Rouge office and about 15 in the Eureka. But anyway, it started off here in Baton Rouge. We had a very hot flu that came up, or influenza or whatever it is, that came up from New Orleans. And so people took it seriously because anecdotally, people knew people from New Orleans who were genuinely infected. And boy, when I say the streets were empty, the streets were empty. However, since then, it is being started, the quarantine is starting to be quite ignored. The freeways are full as normal. Traffic lights are backed up. And so the moral authority of the in-house quarantining seems to have lost some weight. We've had beautiful weather today. It'll be in the mid-80s. And whether that's it or just a combination of things, it's hard to know.
Yeah, there certainly is a national fatigue and out here, because we've been in under this for, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something along those lines, I think that there is that factor that's at play. But it's interesting that people feel that confident. Is it because it has kind of gone through and there are not that many reported cases going on?
I don't think it is particularly as contagious as they think, and it's certainly not as deadly as they think. Now, the second wave might be and probably will be more virulent, but I don't think people, I don't know that we haven't picked a cure that's worse than the disease.
Well, that's one of the things that I've seen and heard an awful lot of discussion about. Certainly the national guys are talking about it, and it's getting traction here locally too, is you've got the economic fallout and versus the public safety, and you've got those that are very aggressive on both perspectives, and there are some that are in between, also recognizing that there's elements of each. But as we look at this, is this something that is recoverable in 2 or 3 quarters, 2 or 3 years? Is it something that could be recoverable at all for certain businesses or industries, as we look at the oil industry right now?
Well, oil's a special case. But overall, it won't be a bounce back immediately. There are a lot of businesses that won't be able to reopen ever. We see that. It was kind of interesting. We, as Trump was making the announcement on forbearances available to mortgage holders, mortgage debtors, our phone started ringing off the hook. And so we have a lot of people availing themselves of the short-term fix. Down here in Louisiana, there's a labor shortage. Why is there a labor shortage? Well, because between the short-term government pop at the federal level and unemployment, there people are making $19.50 an hour. Well, that's why they are taking this as a vacay rather than a serious thing. Has profound damage been done to our economy? Absolutely. And profound damage has been done to our culture. And so, you know, everyone has a different idea, and I'm certainly not the one to... obviously, I have my ideas, but it's probably a little more draconian than most. I think we shot awfully fast on this.
Yeah, yeah. It is interesting how it came about, and as quickly as it moved, demonstrating that government can move quickly. It may not be necessarily in the proper direction all the time, but they can move quickly if there is enough public sentiment and pressure. KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, the concept of what to do. Certainly, if the shelter was going to occur, something had to be done to try to get some semblance of normalcy to allow certain businesses that really were getting creamed to be able to help out. Were the tactics good? Were they just good intentioned, or were they just misplaced from the get-go?
I think the narrative has been lost completely. The reason for distancing wasn't to not get infected, because I think you're either going to get infected or you're not. But I think it was supply-demand. They didn't want the medical system overwhelmed. And that was the primary reason. The flattening of the curve isn't to not get sick. The flattening of the curve is to time the sickness so that it comes out on a very flat basis so that people can, the hospitals don't get completely swamped. I don't think that was the narrative. I think who's ever going to get sick is going to get sick. Now, whether California has group immunity, I don't know. You know, the politics of this is pretty horrific. You can see the Democrat governors don't want to open. They are using it as a political hammer on Trump. The conservatives want to get back to work. I don't know whether that's ethically or because fundamentally that's their can-do attitude. My group of friends we've all been talking to one another, and these are some conservatives, some liberals. Everyone wants to get back to work, because the damage being done now is profound, and it will be hard to recover from.
One thing that I see is that at least it's being recognized across the board, the political spectrum. It seems to be recognized. We may argue about how to get to that point where we can take care of it, but at least there's lip service being paid to it, where in the past I would have suspected that not so much so. Do you think this is being used as a platform for 2024? I mean, it's interesting. I've seen some interviews with Newsom, and certainly Cuomo's out there every day doing his press conference. It's being picked up by a lot of the national media. Do you think that this is a positioning of California versus, well, and the fellow in Illinois too, California versus Illinois versus New York, and to see who the leading candidates are for 2024?
Certainly, it has helped the profile of those guys on certain governors. But I still think there's a lot of 2020 going on right now. 2024 will happen, and this raising the profile is helping them. But at the same time, I really think this is about taking out Trump.
Well, so many of the polls are indicating that, while they may not be 100% pleased, that overall there's a positive response to what the president has been doing.
Well, the polls are all over the place. I've seen a few of them, and it's not clear. Today there was one where the elderly are all of a sudden mad at Trump. Why, I'm not quite sure. But it's a difficult problem. I don't envy any president having to go through this, because the decisions were not obvious and they were all difficult.
The economic strategies that were put into play, are there lessons that can be learned either on how to or how not to deal with situations like this that are really on a national level, not on a regional?
Well, I think, who was it who, was it Dennis Prager, who said if some town in Montana had shut down, would New York have shut down? The answer is clearly not.
Yeah, yeah.
But given that New York is being spanked, should the rest of the country shut down? So it's kind of an interesting question that way.
Yeah, or even state by state. You know, I've been kind of wondering, well, what's the opinion of the governors from, and pick some of the Midwest states or the Rocky Mountain states, and to see if there's any consistency. Saw an interview last week with Steve Boros, the sports agent, and he was saying that that the baseball players are willing to do whatever it is, and they see themselves as one of the early signs of coming out in normalcy, and they don't need a full stadium. Let's just start playing some baseball. So I think that there's that itch in a lot of areas to get things kind of feeling somewhat normal.
Yeah. A, there's the itch, and B, boy, a lot of our fundamental freedoms were taken away in one swath, in many cases by unelected people. I'm not even sure it's constitutional to mandate what they're mandating. And so I'm not sure that we didn't go student body right in one direction that trampled 250 years of freedoms.
Well, I suspect that there'll be some legal action one way or the other after this all settles to find out really what are the limits for local public health officers or sheriffs or OES or whatever, you know, the acronyms are in the various communities, to dictate that people have to do X or have to do Y.
Yeah, it's interesting. They've certainly found the edge of, if it's constitutional, they've come pretty close to finding the edge of what's allowable.
Yeah, well, maybe the Ninth Circuit will have a chance to play with this one, too.
Well, you know, that's a 50-50 circuit now, so anything can happen there. You can bet on them winning that decision.
Yeah, that may be a good barometer. It's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Ann Murphy, South Representative by CEO's Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Rob, as you look at some of the different ideas that are being talked about and some of the talking heads that are throwing ideas out, you mentioned the oil industry. Certainly, that's one that's much more regionalized for a lot of us, and you're kind of in the fringe of that one. Industry niche by industry niche, are you thinking that that's going to be how things kind of balance out and there'll be certain sectors that will do okay and others that are going to take a longer, much longer time to recuperate?
I think it almost has to be. I mean, oil and gas, I guess the real volatility we saw in oil and gas and we're still seeing is because fundamentally, the commodity had to be delivered on some of these contracts, and there was no place to store it because, as a society, we're just not using as much fuel. So that's not apt to be repeated in very many places. One of our banks is an oil bank, and they aren't having very much fun, I'll tell you. They're kind of alarmed. You know, they say, well, we're not nervous. And I said, well, sure you're not. And finally he said, you bet we're nervous.
Yeah, if you're not nervous, you're not awake, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, a shout out should go to Redwood Capital. They've done a good job of processing the PPP loans from what I'm hearing. Is that what you're hearing?
Oh, yes. I know our guy that we were working with. I got an email from him at 5 in the morning. And I said, what's going on here? Are you working boss hours? And he just kind of laughed and said, no, can't sleep. And then we got a confirmation on one of them at like 4:45 on a Saturday. And I've heard the community banks are the ones that really did step up throughout the country, and that some of the big boy brands are the ones that kind of, they didn't act in the best interest of the locals. They were looking more at who their largest customers were rather than those that really needed the assistance.
I guess I really think, Brian, is since when is that new? When have the big national banks really been helpful to our community?
Exactly. I think what happened was the curtain was pulled back, and we saw the wizard.
It's just awful. And so consequently, I mean, am I disappointed in U.S. Bank? Of course. Am I disappointed in Wells? Yeah. Did B of A process any locally? I'll bet they didn't. Maybe they did.
Now, I didn't hear... From a bunch of folks that the mortgage industry is continuing to be active. Is that what your experiences are?
No. It's depends on the sector. There's been a lot of uncertainty in the mortgage industry. Number one, did the forbearances that kicked in that were, could you even sell that loan then? And they just came out today. So they've been living in limbo for a while. They just came out today where the agencies will now take the forborne loans newly originated. Secondly, there's virtually no market for the mortgage servicing rights. There is a good liquid market for the newly originated mortgages, but not for the others. And so it's in a lot of turmoil. There are a lot of originators who are really in trouble. And then the servicers There's something in the mortgage business called a schedule, and whereas if a mortgage is due, you have to pay it on these federal loans, federally guaranteed loans, and they didn't have the liquidity. Banks did, but the non-bank servicers didn't. So it's and then if you did non-QM, heaven forbid, that's been a disaster. So I guess it rates are low. They should be lower when I look at it, but that's me. And but I wouldn't say it's business as usual. No way.
Right, but there is still a pretty strong demand for real estate loans because the interest rate is as low as it is, and with the softening out there in the real estate market because of the questions, I'm understanding that there's still a backlog of people wanting to either become first-time homeowners or to buy up.
Well, I hope so.
Not your experience, though.
We're not seeing that. And if it happens, that will be wonderful. Right now, what we're seeing is if you are a credit card provider, it's pretty good because they're not having to pay their mortgages. So they're paying their credit cards.
Oh, jeez. KIS News Information Time. It's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. We're talking shop this morning with Rob Eckley. You know, I hate using hackneyed phrases, and I think that there is one that's starting to surface now, the new normal. But we're not going to go back. It's going to be different. With so many people now discovering the abilities of out-of-office working, do you think that we're going to see a fundamental change on how business is conducted also?
I don't know. As an owner of office buildings, it hasn't escaped my attention.
I bet not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, we're functioning at about 85% of the productivity that we had operating in the office. So there is a step off.
Right.
It's not awful.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of, you know, the lawyers, doctors, and all these folks that, you know, at conventions. You know, I know you can't Zoom 10,000 people, but there certainly is an opportunity here for a lot of discovery, and I'm wondering if there might not be more pressures on infrastructure to be able to make it so a lot of these things that we're discovering become more routine, like banking, for example. You know, I mean, if you don't have to go into the bank and you can process things without having to go to the physical lobby, well, that kind of changes things a little bit in that niche as well.
It has, and it will. And it's interesting down here, the grocery stores will deliver, and for a fairly nominal fee. And so there, our culture is going through a change. New normal scares me. I don't know what new normal means. They said that in 08, and by 2011, we were, maybe 2013 at the worst, we were back to business as normal. So it's hard to predict how these things work long term. It does create a great conflict of visions as we lose our liberties. I know I shouldn't talk about liberties, but this quarantining, self-quarantining, I'm not too wild about this.
Yeah. Now, I've seen some stuff about Amazon. You know, obviously, they're going gangbusters. But that there's a backlash going against Amazon because that's kind of the antithesis of support local, buy local, shop local, that kind of stuff. Do you see anything in the cards that says that Amazon isn't going to continue to be not a category killer, because I think they invented the category, but that they will continue to be as dominant in the retail sector as they have been?
I think they have a great runway in front of them. I really do. I think they've got virtually a perfect model. They have more capital, and they're way ahead of everybody. Now, whether backlashes are difficult to measure, and if there's an event that kind of crystallizes public sentiment, haven't seen that happen yet. Their service is not what it used to be. Like, we can't get something as simple as tennis balls for the dogs. It's going to take 2 weeks to get two things of tennis balls. Yeah, I just didn't believe that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it'd
just be interesting, the evolution. Are there things that you're looking at as key monitoring points?
I've been fascinated by grocery shopping. It's not the group event it used to be. It's weird seeing empty shelves, and you wonder if that's going to go on. You see the pork plants. What is it? 15% of the
right.
pork production in the United States is shut down. I mean, are we going to start living through a shortage world? I'm wondering about that, and I hope and pray we're not. But it's not inconceivable to me that might be where we are for a while.
All right. Well, we'll know more next month when we get together. How's that?
Look forward to it, man. Be careful and stay down.
Yeah. Run hard, but run low.
Yeah. All right, man. Take care.
Thanks, Rob.
See you. Bye.